Oh, what's that? Oh, is it the crispy, high-quality clarity of a brand new microphone? Well, I think it is. I think it's a wonderful opportunity for me to do another podcast today, a very fresh new episode on this crispy, brand new broadcast-quality condenser microphone just for your listening pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. Oh my goodness. Oh, I love the sound of this microphone. This is my brand new broadcast quality microphone. And man, I'm excited to do a whole new episode using this bad boy here. I'm going to have to get used to it, used to all its whips and whistles. But I can already tell just by the way it sounds in my headphones that this is going to sound really good. I have been excited to upgrade my studio for a while. And it's not only a brand new microphone coming my way, but eventually today, not as of this recording, but eventually today I will also get my brand new laptop. That's right. If you were here last week, then you heard me talking about this big investment that I should just go for it. I talked to a tech friend of mine who gave me some good advice about it, and basically I decided to go for it. You know, I don't often buy new things for myself. I've always kind of had a bit of a hesitation towards doing it because I've just never been able to afford it. And then if I would save up for something, it would take so long for me to be sure that it was like the right kind of thing for what I wanted to do that by the time I would say like, okay, I can do it, it's time to do it now, then like by the time I would do it, finally, you know, the whole, like the necessity of it would have gone by, or there'd be a new model of it out already anyway. So it was always kind of just a flip of the coin if I would actually get the thing or not. But ever since I've been in this new studio, and ever since I've been, you know, doing better career-wise with the videos and stuff like that, it's finally come to like a point where I can say, okay, you know, not constantly, I'm still not going to like blow money or something, but like I finally be at a place where I can say, okay, it's worth the investment to just give it a shot, just to like, you know, not spoil yourself rotten or something, but like, you know, if you want to do it and you think it's going to sound or it could be important in a sense to the business, then why not do it? Or also sometimes, especially with things like clothing, you can say, okay, I'm going to treat myself a little bit. Sometimes you gotta live life, boys and girls, but things like this brand new microphone and things like the laptop coming in today, of course, will go towards the work that I'm doing. So there's my excuse. However, there is a company called Rosa Rugosa, and I wish they were a sponsor of anything that I would do. I wish they would send me literally any of their clothes. My mom will remember them because she was the first person that got to see me try them on when I was visiting the States a couple of months ago. But Rosa Rugosa is a company. I believe they are, I think the home warehouse address, I think they're in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And it, I believe, is founded by the actor and chef Maddie Matheson, who, if you guys don't know him, if you've ever seen the successful FX show called The Bear, which took boatloads of Emmys home for their second season, and their third season is about to premiere, it's led by the beautiful actor Jeremy Allen White, who did that infamous Calvin Klein ad. Oh, those ribbed-up abs! Oh, he's such a muscular man! Maddie Matheson is in The Bear. He is, I forgot the character's name, but he basically is easy to categorize as like the pretty heavy set guy. You know, most TV show casts are like pretty fit people. And then Maddie Matheson's this big guy. He pulls it off really well. He's a big dude, but he just looks so cool. I just really like how he dresses. He's just looking all kinds of super fresh and hip, and it's just my style. It's just what I'm interested in. And I was always admiring his clothing on his Instagram and stuff. And then I saw that he owns this company, Rosa Rugosa, and I looked at their website, and it's just dope stuff. It just looks great. It's not everybody's cup of tea, but it really scratches that itch in my head of like, what are some nice, you know, handmade, good textured clothing that look good on bigger guys like me? I've always struggled with finding clothes that fit me in a certain way, especially from the waist down. I've got, you know, I'm bow-legged. I got wide hips. I got love handles. My thighs are triple size of my, three times the size of my shins. And like, it's all kind of like odd. And it takes a lot for me to get into a pair of clothing, like some pants or, you know, a combo of things and go, I feel good in this. You know, it's by and large one of the most common, you know, contributors to my physical insecurities. It's just like, do these clothes look good? And I feel like I didn't even have like a clothing epiphany or like a clothing, I don't know how you want to call it. Yeah. Like a clothing, I guess you'd say epiphany, you know, like an awakening. I didn't really have like a clothing awakening until I remember the first day. I remember the first day that I remembered having like a clothing awakening where I was like, I need to change how I dress and I want to start looking good. And I was in college. I think it was like 2012. I must have been like 21 going into 22. And it's crazy. I actually remember it because it was the first time I ever shopped at, I think I went to Urban Outfitters or H&M. I think it was Urban Outfitters in Jackson Square in New Orleans. And it was just time. I was just always wearing clothes that like I kind of thought were cool, but just because they fit, you know, just like nothing wrong with shopping at any kind of store. Some people just want to have something to put over to get to work. And that's totally fine too. That is also what clothes are meant for. But I had this awakening of like, no, I want to choose something that accentuates how, you know, like helps me look better, probably to get girls or to, you know, seem cooler or something. I just needed a change. So I like actively went to Urban Outfitters and I bought a bunch of new clothes that were a completely different vibe from anything I'd ever been wearing. And I went back to my friend Chelsea's house near the fairgrounds, like in Mid-City, and just tried on a bunch of clothes, like in front of a few friends in the living room there. Just like, how about these pants? Yeah, these are corduroys. They're, you know, like, you know, I think the style at the time was a little skinnier in the legs still. That was kind of in at the time still. So it was like a little skinnier jean. It was like a corduroy orange pant. I remember those and like some Vans, like slip-ons. And yeah, then I started, you know, these button-up shirts and I got more confident in myself. And yeah, ever since then, ever since that day that I went to Urban at 21 years old, I've just tried to consistently look for clothes that I care about, that look a certain way on me, and I'm very conscious of how I look when I go to an event or something. Like when I had that red carpet event in Berlin for the, I was invited to the U.S. Embassy, I forgot when that was, like January or February or something, I don't know when, I went there, do something. I forgot. Some party at the embassy in Berlin. And it was a red carpet event for the film fest. It was a film festival red carpet event. And like Sharon Stone was there. And I talked about it on a different episode. But the point was, I really was so stressed out about what to wear to that. Because I was like, well, I'm not going to go buy a tuxedo. Like the dress code was cocktail. And I was like, okay, so they want people to dress nice. Although when I got there, I saw idiots in like t-shirts. And I was like, what the fuck are you doing? T-shirt. You know how much time and effort I thought about dressing nice for this thing and you're showing up in a t-shirt? Get out of here. Go get hit by a bus or something. These people, it's crazy. And not t-shirt out of like, you know, necessity. It's just like, oh, it's just like, you know, it's like a cool thing to like, just not try so hard. Anyway, And I like literally went out to in Berlin, you know, for like the day before, and with a few friends, and just tried things on and just like let myself get insecure. Like my least favorite thing in the entire world is being in a crowded clothing store, trying something on, and you need someone else to see it. And it's such a busy store, and so many people are waiting on that dressing room that when you step out, the other person is distracted or not close enough to the door. Like, what if I take you to a clothing store and I need your eyes to approve things for me or for your honesty? If you're someone who I bring you because you're going to say this makes you look bad, you know, I need you to get in there and get it done quick because I want to get out of there. If I'm bringing you there to be that person, to be those eyes for me, I need you to stand at the door within a 2-foot radius. You know, you don't have to stand there like a bodyguard, but I'm going to want you to like lean up against the wall right next to me. You can have your phone out. You can pull up a chair. You can be with, I have to open that door, crack that door, and be able to immediately spot you. So that way you can glance up, I can glance you over, or you can just turn into the door and say, hey, let me step back from the door. Let me take a look. And maybe I don't even have to leave the dressing room. Worst thing about some dressing rooms, when it's just a curtain, it doesn't close all the way. Give me a door. I'm not trying to show ass to all these skinny people who are going to buy a scarf and then just not wear it at all. I need someone who's going to be there. And my least favorite thing is when I'm in a crowded clothing store and I have that person there for their opinion and I open that door and there are like 8 strangers looking at me because they're hoping that my dressing room is going to be empty and perhaps the thing that I'm wearing isn't working for me and I'm not sure if it's working for me. So I feel like now I've stepped out, I'm like barefoot in a public place with pleated pants on and a button-up shirt that could look nice but feels too tight, and then I'm looking around and I'm calling your name and I'm calling your name and I am looking around for you and I do not see you, and then I need to vocalize that your name, I need to call out your name, which guess what, draws more attention to me. I am not down for that. That is my nightmare. You can go to hell. Like, if I bring you there, that's friendship over. If I have to literally step out with one hand holding my waist on the button to be sure that I don't, like, breathe too hard and pop something because I'm trying something up because maybe it's going to be this. Maybe if I match it with this jacket, it could look good if I do this, but then I have to make sure to get a belt. And all these thoughts are in my head. And then I have strangers looking me up and down who immediately in my mind are saying, nice try, fat. So good luck trying to find anything that fits you here. So I'm already triple insecure, and then guess what? I can't find my partner. That's the worst thing. So as you can tell from stories like this, I have an issue with clothing. It's something I think about a lot, and you know, that's, you know, I gotta, my t-shirts have to be a certain, you know, style. Either they have to be kind of funny, or they have to be a really nice material so they sit differently, they sit properly on me, and if I catch myself wearing something later that I thought looked one way, but it looks totally different, then I feel like an idiot. And when I went to that red carpet event, and I had to get that clothing out of that store, and I was yelling around for people, I hated that. But in the end, I got a decent button-up, and I got a nice little jacket out of it, and some fresh pants, and you know what? In the end, I liked it. In the end, I liked it. But it took some time. It took some effort. And that's what my whole thing is about. So, Rosa Rugosa. I see this guy, Matty Matheson, looking good for a big guy, which is hard to do. And he looked fresh. And this style just appeals to me. And I found the website, and I see that they're based in Canada, and they ship to Canada, and they ship to the United States. They do not ship internationally, which blows. So I go to America a couple months ago. I order a slew of clothing from that store, and it gets delivered to my Airbnb, and I am immediately in love. Only one item doesn't quite fit, and I thankfully had my very kind mother ship it back for me after I left. But everything else was totally amazing. I'm wearing one kind of pair of their pants literally every day. So as you can imagine, if you have one item from them in one color and you like it and you wear it a few times, you immediately think, you know what, I wish I had a backup pair to wear for nice events so that these can be my lounge pants or something. You know, I always think like, you know, they are nice clothing, so it'd be nice to have one for casual and one for formal, because they could be used as formal. If they're ironed, they look great, and if they're not ironed and kind of like, you know, chilled, then it's like you can get dirty with them and then wash it up. So anyway, my point is I wanted more. I needed more. So I contacted them and I said, "Hey, Rosa Brigosa, I love your stuff. I spent several hundred dollars on your clothing in America, and I'm back in Germany now, and I need it. I need it. I need it. Why don't you, what's wrong? Why can't you ship to me? Ship to me?" And they got back to me, and they saw my backlog of DMs and emails that I have contacted them so many times about different things. They know my name now, but not as a internet celebrity, but as a very, very strangely persistent customer. I'm giving them a lot of money, so I think they're okay. And they contacted me. They came back and they said, "Hey, we're so happy you love the stuff. We're so happy that you're a fan. We get that you live in Germany and that you really want it, but we don't ship. How about this? We will create a voucher code for you. You put that into your shopping cart. There'll be like a little thing for a discount code. You put that. We're gonna cover shipping fees, and we'll give you this alternative address to put into the system, but we will know that we ship it to your address, .. in Germany," which is very cool. So now I believe what I understand is I'm the only customer who is, you know, ordering internationally who they created a special link and code for. Hopefully this leads to eventually maybe even getting a couple of free articles of clothing from them. I would really love that as well. It's, you know, it's pricey clothing. It's very worth it for me. It's really wonderful clothing. But I just, you know, I need it. Oh, I need it so bad. And yeah, I'm very, very excited for, you know, just for everything to come in, and for, of course, another opportunity to wear the items outside of the house. I occasionally will wear a few of these items to different things here and there, but, you know, there's no better feeling than when you buy fresh clothes, and you know they look good, and you know they fit well, and then you have a nice reason to go a little extra mile. For a special event, maybe a public appearance. You know, do I want to be asked eventually to stand on another red carpet for one reason or another? Well, sure, why not? Who wouldn't want that? Well, why would anyone not want to do that? Standing on a red carpet is pretty cool. It's weird, but it's pretty cool. And do I want to dress really cool and do it again? Well, you bet your bottom dollar. You bet your bottom dollar I do, buddy. I would definitely go stretch some legs on the red carpet just to show off these clothes. Okay, anyway, that's enough about Rosa Brigosa. Hope everyone had a wonderful Mother's Day. Had a friend whose birthday shared exactly the same day. So that's always a funny thing to say happy birthday, but then to see their partner who's a mother and be like, "Happy Mother's Birthday, Burton." And then kind of swallow it in your throat because no one really got it and it sounded awkward. And then to just give everybody a hug and just have a nice day. Was at the Hirsch Garden yesterday for this friend's birthday for just a few hours. And man alive, was that place packed out. Everything, you know, when I first approach a place like that, you know, it's like walking into an Oktoberfest tent or something. I mean, just thousands of people seated around on these bench tables that are just spread out outside as far as the eye can see, you know, drinking Weißweinschorle and beer and Weizen and Tafelwasser and Cola, and everybody just, you know, hanging out with families, kids playing around in the grass and the shade and stuff. After a while, my like mental anxiety about that calmed down. It kind of basically just went away. Like I need time to adjust. I need to be at a table with one or two people that I know very well to adjust for probably 20 or 30 minutes, just talking, being in my own space, or like immediately knowing the lay of the land. Like I was grateful that Moritz was there because we met and like immediately walked together and I got to understand how the system works. Like, okay, oh, you get your glass here first. I would never have guessed that. Then you fill it up. Then you pay for it. Oh, and this other one is where you can get this thing and that thing. Okay, I wouldn't have known that that's where you go back to get that one. And over there is food. Okay, so if I want to get food, I can do that too. And then you go back at the table and there you're there with like the friends and everyone's families, and you can just kind of sit and just kind of like collect yourself. I don't normally tell people when I first arrive that I feel very stressed out, but Moritz is someone who I have done that twice to, and I keep realizing that probably no one else feels that way. Or if they do, they just keep it to themselves and smile. But I tend to, in those situations, I think from the anxiety itself, have no filter. There were two times I said it, and I remember I was with Moritz both times. One was, you know, yesterday at this place. It was like, hey, how you doing? And I was like, I feel a lot of anxiety because there are too many people here. And he was like, really? And I was like, oh, yeah, maybe I shouldn't have said anything. Because it's like, you know, it's a nice sunny day out with a bunch of people, like under trees, you know, in nice weather with kids running around. So it's like, it looks like a paradise in a sense. But for me, I just saw so many people that I got kind of stressed. I don't know if that might be stemming from the fact that now every once in a while I get stopped or recognized, and I think that didn't happen yesterday. I kind of expected it to, and maybe that was why I had this extra layer of like, well, now I might have this pressure of like trying to have some private time with people and then having that interrupted. But it's also kind of sounds like so egotistical to say it when I hear myself say it. But I also just don't like big crowds. Like if I go to a concert, I went to a concert before the new year, and I was also there with Moritz, and he and his family and friends stood just about as far in the front of the audience, right at the stage, as you possibly could. The venue holds like 1,500 people or 1,200 people or something like that. It's a big place, standing room only. I like physically could not do it. I there was some space and it was nice to talk with them, meet his friends and stuff. Everyone's nice, good mood, good, you know, good music. I was just getting so, I mean, probably connected to it as well was that I got really sick. I think that was like just before we went. Was that just before we went to America or just before we went out of Munich for Christmas? I can't remember. I think it was just before Christmas or something. And I just got so dog sick. And I remember that's probably connected to it as well. But like I got there and the place was just sold, you know, sold out concert, huge venue. Moritz is up there in the front. I think he doesn't at all. And I think a lot of friends probably don't at all have this thing about crowds. But in the thick of a crowd, I just don't feel good. I just feel very, not claustrophobic, but like I will literally not go to the bathroom at a public place if it means I have to like shoulder my way through people, which is crazy. I mean, I'm 6 foot one. I'm a heavy set guy. I'm a big guy. I played football, you know. I'm not a small man. It's not as if I have to feel that I'll get like crushed or something, but it's just this weird thing. If I don't like shoving myself through people, I feel very, yeah, maybe it is claustrophobic, just sort of like when you feel like, oh, you're holding your, I don't know, I'm holding my fanny pack close to my chest with my hands wrapped around, and I'm elbowing and bumping people and saying, sorry, excuse me. And people so nonchalantly not even noticing or caring. And then you have to like kind of, someone's got their back to you and you have to move one of your hands to tap them and then say, sorry, excuse me. And you squeeze through and then finally get to the end. It's just like, I would much rather just piss myself or like go out to the street and pee between cars or something, like, which I have done. I have definitely done that. I cannot stand going to a place, getting locked into a big crowd, being shoved in there, feeling like you can't breathe. And it's definitely different when you're outside. Like, for example, at the beer garden yesterday, of course, it was a ton of people and I felt this anxiety. But once I got to my table and I saw how the, you know, everything worked with the drinks and stuff, it felt like, okay, all right, I'm here, it's fine, it's good. And then I didn't think about it anymore at all. Like, it was there when I first arrived, and then it went away. At a concert, it'll be there unless I stand in the very back. And that's what I did, like, at that show with Moritz. I was talking to him, but I couldn't be there, couldn't be in the crowd. I needed to stand, like, if I stood at this angle, I had a good access to this back door bathroom. I kept standing by the entrance because they had the doors open and it was cold outside, and I kept just breathing in that fresh air. And again, I was getting the flu. I mean, I was so sick, but I just felt like, okay, I need to be near the cold air. I need to be able to escape. I wanted to go to, you know, a little after party backstage. I was invited by the artist too, who's friends with Moritz, and it was going to be a nice thing. I just couldn't do it. I had to leave. And maybe it's also getting older. I like crowds like that a lot less. But funny, I don't know. I think I have to be like in, like, lost in the crowd to feel that way, or approaching a crowd from the back to feel that way. If I'm on stage and looking at a crowd, I don't feel that way at all. And if I go into, if I approach a crowd from the front and I'm going to shake hands with people or something, I don't feel that way. But if I'm in the crowd and we're all, including me, going towards something together, I'll feel very crushed up and locked in. And I can't, it takes me some time. Either I have to stand in the back, or it'll be like yesterday where I just need some time to get over it. Some distractions and some beer. And speaking of going to beer gardens and getting fresh beer, my friend Mason is coming to Germany for the very first time this week. I think by the time of this episode releasing, he will be here. And that's really crazy. Mason is a friend from the University of New Orleans, where we met. We did improv comedy together in these theater groups. He is an incredibly talented actor. He still acts a little bit now and then, I think. He's, you know, leaned more into writing and teaching English at a different university. And he's just such a calm presence. He's a very intellectual person, very well read. He's very peaceful. He brings like a really nice peace and a calm with him. He's very mature. I always feel like when you introduce him to somebody, it's like when you introduce, yeah, like a professor, actually. Even though that we're the same age, it feels like I'm introducing like a 50-year-old professor. But then, you know, you get a few drinks in him, and he's just another guy who's in his early 30s, and he's just he's so funny, too. He can be really a hoot. God, who's the old man now? But he's a really great, like, well-rounded individual, and I'm so glad he's visiting. I haven't had a friend visit like this in a very long time, so I'm excited to be able to show him around Munich and just to have a good time with him. You know, to be able to have the space to host him without everyone getting in everyone's way. I used to love when friends would visit in our old place, but of course, you know, it was like 1/3 of the apartment would be kind of taken over. And after a few days, you get kind of cramped with each other, especially like with one bathroom. You know, not to complain. You know, it was a lovely apartment, and I do still love visiting apartments like that. It's just, there is a coziness to it that I like. But anyone who's lived in them can tell you that after, you know, 5 days of sharing that with a guest, you can feel kind of, you can get kind of like cramped up with them a little bit. Especially if you, you know, live in these places with your partners, or significant others, if there's kids, it's even more. So I'm really, happy to be able to have space for him. For if he needs downtime as well, you know, like he strikes me as the type of guy who occasionally goes to bed a little early to read, you know, unlike your boy here who stays up late watching 7 hour long tutorial videos about the history of Resident Evil franchise. And I'm not even making that up. There's a 7 hour fan made video essay about the thorough history of the Resident Evil franchise. And I am working my way through it because I'm such a nerd for that franchise. Anyway, Mason's going to visit, so we got to show him all the landmarks. Got to show him, you know, the beer gardens. He's got to, you know, he's coming around lunchtime. I'm going to pick him up. We, you know, he's got to have himself a good old-fashioned, you know, classic crispy German beer. I was trying to stay off alcohol for a while. Lasted about 8 days. But I told, told somebody about that, and they're like, oh, 8 days is long. And it was like a full, like, you know, deeply culturally ingrained German who's like, oh, 8 days is long. Like, good on you, you know? Like, 8 days is a long time with no beer. but I have other people in my life who beg to differ on that, who are a little, you know, I should have gone longer. But anyway, I did 8 days. And I was gonna do longer. I was gonna go from like the day I got back from America. I think it was even that far back, all the way to, I was gonna go until Mason arrived. So it was gonna be quite some time, like over a month, maybe a month and a half, something like that. But of course, it didn't work out that way. But now there's no chance. Like, there's no point in trying to have a sober visit when you're showing off all these things to your friend who does drink alcohol and will enjoy them too. It's just, it's silly to be like, oh, well, here's a nice, delicious German beer. You should try it. And I'll have a Sprite. It just doesn't click for me. Anyway. So we are going to go to beer gardens. He may also be someone who's interested in going to the, you know, the art museums, the old Pinakothek and the modern Pinakothek, and there's castles nearby, there's, you know, the English gardens, there's, you know, things we can all do in groups, like some cool restaurants he might want to try out. There's a lot of stuff he probably doesn't get in New Orleans, like there's a, you know, great Ethiopian place we love, there's some great South African food, there's a lot of great, New Orleans has all these things more or less. There's a few things they don't have here that he might like here. And he seems like someone who's down to basically try anything, and he seems like someone who's not going to be a burden. Sometimes when you have people visit you and the people who live in your space kind of come to sort of an unspoken conclusion that you need to take care of the visitors. And I'm of the philosophy that it 100% depends on the person. You know, it depends who's visiting. Some people, you know, you need to plan in advance, prep a lot of things before they get there, have a bit of a schedule, and break it all down for them. And that's totally cool. And then you have people like this where I feel like, no, you know, Mason, he's an adult, he's calm, he's mature, he's also relaxed, and he's on his first Europe trip. So I feel like for him, it'll be very easy to say, hey man, like, do you want to go do this today, or you want to do nothing and just chill a bit and catch up in our garden? And he might just say, man, I'm down with just catching up with you in the garden today, and then we'll do that. Or he might say, oh, you know what? I would really love to go see that thing I've never seen before. And I feel like he'll just be very easy on going with the flow. He's packing light, so he's not going to be too stressful about, you know, carrying a lot of things to or from the States. He's got a little layover in Chicago, and I'm excited for him to come. There's a lot of things to experience, and it's also a great opportunity when people visit to show them things that you tend to forget yourself about living in Munich. There's a lot of things you can take for granted, a lot of things you can forget about, and when you have someone visiting, you can remember, like, Oh, yeah, right. That's cool. I can do that. It's so easy to forget what's possible in your city after a while. You get into your own bubbles and you get into your routines and you see the same places and you get comfortable being at home. I'm a very reclusive person, more so than I used to be, but I do find myself wanting to be home more, and I do enjoy my alone time as much as I enjoy time with friends. And I don't know, I'm really bad at getting information about what's going on in the city. I feel like everyone always knows what's going on. Like, oh, there's this festival happening. Oh, there's this fair. There's this, you know, these performances and whatever. And I always feel like, where do they know? How do they know? Where are they hearing about this? But I've always been very bad about that. Even in New Orleans, I was always very bad about knowing what was going on. Unless it was like, you know, I know when Oktoberfest is happening, and I know kind of the general gist of what it will be like and how much I want to attend usually, because it's the same time every year. Back in New Orleans, it was the same thing. It was like, I know, what the city is going to be like around Jazz Fest, and I know what to look up for who's going to play or not. There's posters everywhere anyway. Same thing for Voodoo Fest, you know, and Mardi Gras, of course. There's like these regular things you know what to do. And then the standard events throughout the city, like throughout the rest of the year, you just kind of like get word of mouth. Like you hear it through the grapevine, you know. But with Munich, I'm really bad about knowing that stuff. And I even, you know, follow a couple of different event and interest channels that talk about things that are going on. But I just don't pay enough attention. So I always feel like I have to kind of catch up with what's going on. But yeah, I'm excited for Mason to join. He'll be here, like I said, by the time you guys hear this. And just as a reminder, it should be announced by next week's episode publicly, but June 3rd at the America House in Munich, as part of BR's celebration, 75 years of public broadcasting here in Germany. I will be performing my comedy hour from January, my first comedy hour, Dear God, Please Let This Be Funny. And that is not going to be the same show as the one I'm doing in my tour. Final reminder, we have about 10 tickets left for the Hamburg show. The entire tour for October is literally 99.1% sold. I just saw the sales sheet. So there's 10 tickets left for Hamburg, for whoever can still or wants to get it. The link is in the show notes, and that will be a different hour from the one I'm doing here in Munich next month in June. I am very excited for the next few months about things that are to come. Told you I got the new laptop in. I'm excited to set that up and get started with that. I think I have to buy some adapters because, of course, it doesn't have USB. I love a good USB port. Now all these new Apple things are always USB-C, which is just a different... And I have to get, like, dongles now. I hate getting dongles. I'm supposed to get information soon about going to India. I might be going to India to like talk at a what do you call it? At like a language school at the Goethe Institute. I'm supposed to know more about that this week. That's crazy. And I should know more soon about the book publishers. I should have some information about that soon as well. And yeah, the TV show's coming along. We have one more version of the pitch to finish up. And I think it gets better and better. And the more time we sit on it, the more clearer we can see the full picture. And hopefully our production company can get it off the ground with some sort of network or streamer. It's a tough industry right now, but hopefully with the momentum that things... have currently, and hopefully, you know, people like what I do enough that they'll take the risk on it and try something. So let's cross our fingers and as the Germans would say, press our thumbs. But I'm going to wrap things up here, guys. Again, Hamburg tickets, there's about 10 left. The link for that is in the show notes of this episode or on my link tree, which is also there in the show notes. And shout out to Good Spirits Berlin. They're sending me a lot of great cold brew. I don't know if those, some people will remember that last summer, we had a cold brew, limited edition cold brew with Good Spirits, and it's so every single bag sold. It was an amazing run, and we're talking about maybe doing it again. So you guys can let me know if you think I should do it again, if you'd want to be a part of that. And shout out to Heat Supply, the hot sauce supplier for Heatnist, which is the company that basically provides all the hot sauces seen on the famous YouTube show Hot Ones. We might be doing a Jordan Prince hot sauce. And that is an Artsy Fartsy Immigrants exclusive, because nobody, not even my friends, know that, because nothing's official at all. Nothing's in written at all, but there, we might be doing one, or at least we might be doing some sort of partnership, which would be amazing, because I just had chicken for lunch, and I had like 45 hot sauces, and I love it. It's my thing. So take care of yourselves. I love you guys so much. All the info you need is in the show notes of this. You know, if you like the show, subscribe, like it, comment on it, share it with your friends. It means a lot, and take care of yourselves. Bye-bye. Saints are coming through, and it's all over now, baby blue. Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von Jordan Prince und Moritz Batscheider, produziert für M94.5.